parent perspective, man, that's just what it is. There's nothing else that can tell me if I was a good parent, a great parent, a bad parent, is how my children end up.
You know, I wasn't allowed to drink in the States. I go to England, you're allowed to drink now. And then they give you a car, and then they let you live off base. Like, yes, I'm going to make some mistakes.
How do you like your supervisor to communicate with you? Here we go. We back on now.
Right, you hear me now?
Yeah. That was half food.
That normally don't happen on my end. You know, my end normally pristine. Pristine.
Got that word all week.
Yeah.
What's good, man?
Hey, shit, man. Ain't that, man. We just got back. A couple of us went down to Busan, man. Had a for the 4th of July weekend, man. Check the beach out.
Tell people what Busan is, man. Ain't everybody been out
there. Hey, it's a little city down in South Korea, man. It's like the little beach area, shopping district. If you ever been to Japan, the Shibuya is kind of like that. It reminds me of that.
Shibuya.
Shibuya. Here we go. Come on, man. I'm about to end the whole situation.
So
we went down there, man. Just cooled out, bro. We stayed for the weekend, man. Just shopping, a little bit of shopping, some local food, hit the beach, just chilled out, kind of get away from the work environment a little bit, man. So it was cool. It was dope little time.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody who does tune in, man. I know in the stateside, man, breaking turn the midnight oil right now, trying to be on, because I know it's late out there. So it might be an episode that everybody watched back on the back end and wish they could have commented on. But
yeah,
it's all good, man. We got to be respectful around the Korea time as well.
For sure.
So yeah, it works out around my time. It's only 12 o'clock in the afternoon out here. So
6:15 my time. So I done got my uniform ready. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying? After this, I might just go to sleep just cause.
Yeah. All right, you gonna mess up your sleep schedule.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Be mad as hell.
You're probably right.
You better do some push-ups. You hit the gym yet since you've been back?
I just got back a couple hours ago.
A couple hours ago. Okay,
yeah, a couple hours ago. Yeah, I got back like 4 hours ago.
Oh, okay. Look, yeah. Pedro up in here. Well, she's staging out here. What's up, Pedro? How are you? Lunchtime.
See, I forgot she out there. One is enough. Yeah. You know what I mean? We got one of the fams out here, the family.
Facts, yeah. So you ready to bring in a special guest today?
Yeah, man. I just want to give a quick plug, man. Real I met this young cat, man. I was doing, speedo checks. You know what speedo checks. For y'all that don't know out there, Security Forces Duty Officer program. We got Security Forces CNCO go out and they kind of just check the temperature of the people. Evaluating resources, facilities, stuff like that. And I was in there talking to, this couple of defenders in the BDOC, doing what I do, man, talking to them, getting their inputs on how they feel about the unit. And this young man he a fire dog. So he was over there doing his thing in the dispatch. And then I kind of switched up from, all professional. We start talking about life. You know, we start talking about finance and stuff. You know, a lot of stuff we all talk about when we chopping it up on our level. And then he turned around, man, and he chimed in, man, got a part of the conversation, and just off his couple words, I felt like we had some things in common with ideas, man, and I just liked the head that was on his shoulders. So I told him about the show, man. He was interested. So I said, hey, a lot of times I think we got to own this, though. I think we kind of be – we lead the junior tier out sometimes, man. We be having so many big dogs come up here. Not to say that they ain't big dogs, but we kind of overlook them sometimes. So I felt like we need to get him up here and hear it and pick his brain a little bit about a topic we talked about.
All right. Well, let's do it, man. Let's go ahead and bring him on real quick.
Yes, sir.
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
What's up, man? Doing all right, man. How you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Now, I appreciate the intro, just to kind of go off of what you said. You know, you're talking about the defenders and stuff like that, and I was like, I don't really know nothing about that. I'm not a cop. But like you said, you switched it up, and you started talking about life, and that's kind of like what I like to do, you know, self-improvement, and actually connecting with people, you know, is what I kind of like to do. So you started talking about that, and it kind of piqued my interest. So once again, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Tell little people about yourself, your background. What's your name? What you do? Where you from?
Right. So my name is Shelton Pinckney, but I go by Combat Kid. That's where all my social medias is plugged at. I make music. I do podcasting, things of that nature. I was originally born actually on Eglin Air Force Base. Okay. Because my father worked there for years. He was a painter for like the warheads and the submarines and stuff like that. So that's where I was born. Moved to Georgia when I was about 7. And then from 7 to 19, when I finally left my parents' house, that's where I was at, was in Georgia. So, yeah, that's kind of like what I do. As far as my job, like you said, I'm a fire dog. I've been doing that since I got into 2015. Love the job. I love the people that I meet. I love how that job is available everywhere. So I get to kind of travel a lot, which is not something that I really did before I joined the Air Force. So I'm really grateful for that. But as far as just like personal stuff, man, I'm really into boxing. You know, I really like the UFC, anything combat wise, hence the name Combat Kid, right? It all ties together, you know, but I like it, man. It's cool, especially being out here in Korea. You know, people are really big into jiu-jitsu, and that was something that I had no idea like anything about. So I started getting into that, you know, walked into a gym, got beat up, got choked out, and I was like, I like this. So that's right. Like my new thing now. So that's what I'm doing.
You just made history for me, man. I never heard nobody say got beat up, got choked out, and hey, I'm like
same day, man. I was like, man, because there'd be people like way smaller than me. So you know me, I'm like, I got this, you know.
Try to monster, yeah.
You know, I'm folding me up. I'm like, oh man, I gotta know what he knows because he knows something that I don't. So I gotta learn it, man. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
You and Pete got something in common though, man, because Pete got choked out and is beat up a lot of times.
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of permanent scars around me.
I have a strong inclination that that might be different circumstances though. Like mine was in the gym. Was yours like in a bar?
No. Yeah, mine was in the gym. Right, that's the only place I fight. Yeah, control fighting only. Cool. You know what's crazy, man? You say that, man. And we just had a great conversation in the office about not combatives, but we're talking about fighting in general and how there's a beauty to fighting. If you ever notice at the end of every fight, like you shake the person's hand, it's not really a fight where you're trying to hurt somebody. It's more or less of a respect thing. And people can't understand that because they look at the blood and the gore and people getting knocked out. And, you know, as a person who's been knocked out a few times, I tell everybody, like, knocked out does not hurt because you don't feel anything. So it might look bad as the person looking at it, but you don't like, so if you get choked out, you don't feel anything. You just go to sleep. And as well as it looks bad, and you probably look, you know, some brain cells that you probably lost and that kind of thing happens in concussions. It's all a bad thing. But at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like anything. It just really, the viewing audience looks at it, it looks bad. So I really think I wish we could bring some kind of combat stuff to the military more. Where you actually do put your hands and actually do hit people, because there's a respect thing when somebody, I mean, controlled. Let me say controlled.
I mean, some military branches do.
Right. Yeah. I know like the Marines do pugil sticks and stuff like that. And I just learned the academy the first year you have to do boxing. That's like something you have to take. Really I didn't know that.
Yeah. I will say it's called the sweet science of boxing for a reason. You know, it's crazy. Me and my girlfriend, we actually had this conversation. We're talking about the comparison.
Man, I'm glad that went that way because I thought you were saying me and my girlfriend were in the ring. No. Cut the show.
Shut the whole internet down.
You're like, well, it's been filmed. Thanks for having me. You know, it's been nice. No. I was gonna say, me and her, we had this conversation about the difference between fighting and dancing because she's really into dancing, and I was telling her, there's a little bit of a difference as far as like. I don't know what y'all or your audience believes as far as like masculine and feminine energy. But I was telling her like the only difference between like fighting and dancing is that they're on two opposite ends of like the masculine and the feminine. But you still need footwork to be good at both. If you have a guy who's big and strong, he's just throwing a lot of punches in like a boxing sense. But his footwork is trash. He's going to get eaten alive by a guy who knows how to move and cut angles and stuff like that. But I 100% agree. You learn a lot about yourself when you get punched in the face. Because I remember the first time I got hit, I was like, this is not for me. I don't know why people do this. But, you know, I have a really strong father in my life who was like, you don't quit once you start something. So I had to keep going, and eventually I got good at it. So
that's good stuff, man. Yeah. Hey, man, this may sound bad, but it probably is a lot more people that should have got. They never been punched in the face. So that's why they act the way they act. I don't want that to sound bad at all, but you can tell when people just never had a fight or a real confrontation with somebody because the way they handle things. But to each his own.
I think that goes into our topic as well. It's like, you know, the generational gap in technology and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everybody's just on the keyboard now, just saying whatever they want, disrespecting people left and right. But, you know, back in the days, you couldn't just do it like that. You had to go and step to somebody.
Yeah.
When you step to somebody, you're arm's length away. So you couldn't just be saying whatever different you dynamic. Want. You know what I mean? And I get smacked dynamic. Up.
Yeah,
you smacked
yeah.
up, you know.
You're right, so, absolutely, yeah. absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what we. I think we kind of went into that, and I think what sparked it was. And first, I have no. I don't want this topic to go off wrong on anybody, but I do want people to chime in. And I think it came down to was it cyberbullying? Somebody brought up that was that it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was cyberbullying. And we had a different opinion. And I put out there, you know, I said. We was talking about communication and cyberbullying. I said, so somebody's on the other end of a laptop, right, typing away, firing words at you. You just sitting there reading it, or you go close the laptop, close the site. Like, what if you still reading it? Like, don't you think it's some kind of self-accountability at that point? Like, why are you sitting there reading these words that somebody are writing? Like, it's like a text message. Somebody texting you, you going back and forth. You're like, you know what, man, I'm done with this conversation. You mute it. Just don't open up the text. You can't see it. Delete it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think we was talking about that and just the way the new generation now. Because if somebody bullied you back in the day, they took your lunch. They might have took your lunch money. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
Stuck
what...
Stuck you in a locker, whatever. Right. Whatever.
Yeah. Your head in the toilet, something crazy like that. What if it's called? A swirly. Somebody got a swirly. That's all right. That's what it was, man. But I'm saying, like, it was situations you couldn't escape because you went to school where, you know, people went to school every day. I mean, ain't none of that ever happened to me. But I'm just saying. This is what happened to people. You know what I mean? Yeah. But you couldn't escape that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, but right. If you're online, close your laptop. You know, I mean, that's just my opinion. But not to take nothing from it, because I know some of these cyberbullying situations have went way too far. Well, unfortunately, right. People have lost their lives. But moving forward, I'm saying to people, somebody using their words, I mean, don't give them the energy. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about it. But
I think the reason why it's so prevalent now in this generation, though, is because we live our lives by the internet, by our phones. You know, sometimes the first, even myself, one of the first things I would do when I woke up was check my phone, you know, to see who was checking for me. Like, yeah. I would wake up, check my phone before I get anything else done in the day. I'm looking on my phone first thing. And I think a lot of people kind of still live their life like that. So when you live in like this, I guess like this attention economy, you can do something foolish and get eyes on you and then make money from it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think now when the whole cyberbullying thing started, it was like people put so much value in things that aren't even real, like a text message. Like you said, mm-hmm. You can delete a text message. You can close your laptop and then these things kind of go away, out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
You know, principle kind of kicks in. But I think that's why it's such a big deal, is because we like everything is ingrained with technology. Even you go to like a fast food joint now. Sometimes they don't even got workers in there. It's just a touch screen. You just touch a screen, order your food, you know, someone slide it from like a window. We're like slowly cutting out that human interaction. And it's like, and it's making the world kind of weird right now. And like, sometimes a lot of people don't really see that. But from where I sit, I kind of see it like that. And I'm like, I don't really put too much value in technology. Sometimes I like to just go put my phone down, you know, be me and my girl. We'll go out like on a hike or something and like look out the world, because that's what's real. Like the stuff on your phone's not real. That stuff goes away. You know what I mean? But I think that's why it's so prevalent. It's because everyone's like, "Ooh, like I got 100 followers on this. I got my Snapchat score is that." And it's like, what does that mean though? If your family ain't good, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If your people are hungry, why is Snapchat more important to you? But that's just kind of like what's warped these days, I think.
Oh man, hey, he hit a couple. Go ahead, Pete. Fire off on that. We'll hear your pick.
Let me hear a couple things real quick. We forgot the disclaimer. I don't think we're even going to touch on it. But yeah, none of the views that of ourselves or our guests have any reflection on the United States Air Force at all. It's just our opinions. So we'll go ahead and stop that right there. So put that out. Sorry, we didn't put it out earlier, but I don't think we're going to touch on anything like that. But I think I 100% agree with you about the checking your phone thing. And people, you know, learn to make money. And I think Jadakiss said it the best, man. He said he's looking for the devil because money is the root of all evil. And I think that's such a true statement, man. And people will always look for the money because money changes a lot of things about you. It can change basically your whole life, really, depending on how much it is. And so people are looking for the easiest way to make the most amount of money. And it's super easy to get on somewhere and get people's opinions and get people's topics and stuff like that, and get people's views. And now that we are all connected, I mean, I'm in Qatar, y'all are in Korea, and we got people in the States, and we're all connected right now, you know, in a matter of seconds. So it's very easy to get connected all around the world. And when me and Big Mike grew up, man, it wasn't like that, man. You had your friends that were around you in your neighborhood. I couldn't tell you, you know, anybody outside of my neighborhood. You know, it wasn't until I was later on, probably in like middle school, where we started getting connected a little more with like little chats and stuff like that, little internet chats. But until then, you just knew the people that you went to school with, maybe a couple people in your school district. That was about it. And that's really, you know, there were, and we talk about this too. When we want to go out and play or something like that, go out and do something, you didn't need to text everybody and get everybody on the same page. You just went out there. And whoever was out there, that's who you was playing with. And it don't matter who you were or whatever, if you were part of my group or not. If I was out there, you were playing, that's what we all did. We all just played. Like, you want to play? Come on. And that's right. How we did. You know, the more, the merrier. So I am really, really curious on how this even took place and why it took place as far as communication now. Because it's very, like you said, you go to the fast food place, you don't have to talk to anybody anymore. You know, you go to Sonic, you order your stuff on the thing, somebody come bring it to you, say thanks, and keep it moving, keep it pushing. Yeah. Even some restaurants are like that now. You order, you know, on your phone now, and they come bring your plate, and that's it. So right. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a bad thing, but it's just a huge, huge, huge change to how we develop things. And with all change, there's good and bad behind it. You know, there's plus and minuses behind it. But yeah, I like what you how you put everything, man. You put everything very, very well. Go ahead, Big Mike.
I think to go back on what you said, I don't think money is the root of all. I think the love of money is the root of all evil. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think about money, it's just a piece of paper. It's the fact of how people with the love that people put into it. You know what I mean? And people now they love things and they tolerate people. You know what I'm saying? So they love money. They tolerate, you know, we tolerate each other and we put all this love and this value in these materialistic things. And that's what causes, that's what spawns the evil, you know, because they rather have that materialistic object than have the connection and the love to a person, which is more valuable, which should be more valuable. And I think that's where we go wrong at, man. And like I said, when you start loving these things, you can't talk to these things, you know, so You so focused on that, you lose your social skills to be even interacting with people. Because, like I said, your focus is on this materialistic thing or this money. But, yeah, man, I couldn't have said it better. You hit the nail right on the head. Like, we are moving so far into technology, right, and the use of it, the minimal use of people. You know, people going to be losing jobs and all kinds. You got factories. You see, if I don't know if you ever seen like commercials and stuff where they show factories that's building vehicles. And it's just big machinery.
Yeah. Robots.
It's just big machinery. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you might got one or two people pushing some buttons or moving some handles around. But if you think back to the older commercials we saw when they were building cars, Ford and Chevy, it was people putting them doors in them. You know what I'm saying? So we moving into that cycle, but people are losing those social skills, man.
Yeah.
Not only that, I'll go off of what you said as well. People are also losing their own intelligence.
Right.
You know, you get on a phone, you type in the first three letters of a word, the cell phone already has it spelled out for you. So now all you have to do is just click that word. But it's like, hey, how do you spell tomorrow? TM.
Yeah,
T-O, you know what I'm saying? You couldn't do it,
right? Because it's like
you rely so much on your phone. So you're right. People are losing their social skills, but they're not connecting with other people. But people are also not connecting with themselves.
True.
You know, we're not supposed to, like, as human beings, we're not supposed to be in a completely dark room and just have this cell phone in your face.
Right.
That's just not how we evolved to be. We're supposed to rise and fall with the sun. You know, but now we got all the windows closed. It's just a TV screen that's on in the background or your cell phone that's on in the background. It's messing up everything. And then people are wondering why am I depressed? Or like, why am I not seeing my friends? It's like, well, technology itself is a great thing. You know, it's a really good thing. You can connect with people all across the world. I get to talk to my family. I'm out here in Korea. My parents are back home in South Carolina. I get to call them, make sure they're good, can send them money. That's all because of the internet and technology.
Right.
When that becomes your crutch, like the only thing that you do is you start to lose other parts of yourself. And those other parts of yourself are the things that you really need to like be a whole person. I think. So it's kind of sad to see, man, like even with like people younger than myself, I'm 26, people that's like 18, 19, you know, that's all they know is a phone.
Right.
It's all they know. It's like, yo, do you know how to change a tire? And it's like, well, it's like you could use your phone to learn how to change a tire. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's ways around this, but it's like people just aren't doing it. And it's weird, man.
They lost,
it's really
man.
Weird. It's weird.
Let me ask you a question, man. So, you know, you are really intelligent, and you seem to have a way forward that you're thinking. You know, you're not just stuck in this kind of generation. You kind of think, it seems like you're thinking, you know, 10 years behind and 10 years forward. You have a good knowledge on both. So my question is really, like, when did you age out of the technology thing? Because you were around it. You know, me and Big Mike kind of grew up in it. You pretty much were born into it. So when did you kind of gap away from it?
When I wasn't good at it. It's not like I didn't try. You know, I tried to have a million followers on YouTube, or I tried to have the highest Snapchat score, but that life just rejected me in some way, shape, and form. So once, and I can't like give you like a specific age, but I can give you like an instance as to when I kind of realized, okay, I need to do something else with my life. So I got stationed out in Korea in 2020. I was in England for 4 years. That was my first base. And like most 19-year-olds, you know, I was in England. I was with this girl. Me and her dated. And then when I got stationed to Korea, me and her broke up, right? Mm-hmm. So she was like the only person that was really on my phone outside of family. She was like the only person that I was talking to, this, that, and the third. She was like the person I gave all my attention to, but now I had no one to give that attention to. So I was trying to do TikToks, but I was like, I'm not about to dance. That's just not me. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I do the funny voiceovers or whatever, but I'm not about to be up here doing, I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you on that.
It's not in me, man. I'd be lying to y'all if I said it was. So I had to find something else to do with my time. And I remember, I believe it was Ice Cube. He said, if you want to hide anything from people, you want to put it in a book. So I was like, well, let me start reading. And when I tried to start reading, I would get through like half a page and my mind would just go somewhere completely else. Yeah. And I was like, why can't I focus? Like I didn't even notice like that my focus was gone. Like I couldn't focus on things. And I was like, that's weird. Like that shouldn't be like that. So then I started to read. I was on YouTube. I looked at like self-improvement. There's a plethora of YouTubers out there that talk about self-improvement. One in particular, his name's Hamza. Another one's Elliot Holst. These are guys that I look up to where I'm like, okay, they figured out something that I don't know. So I want to see if I can kind of close that gap, right? This is all in 2020. So this is like, you know, before the bug kicked off and before the Air Force said we couldn't go at all these places. So I was kind of already moving towards that.
Right.
Then all these things kicked off and we're stuck in the dorm room. So I'm like, all right, cool. Perfect. Now I have nothing but time. You know what I'm saying? Can't go nowhere. Right. Can't see nothing. You know, my biggest distraction is women. You know, I'm 26. You know what I'm saying? So my biggest distraction is women. So I was like, I can't even do that. So now I got to find something else to do with my time. So after I kind of got a hang of reading, I got a hold of journaling. And when I started journaling, that's what really kind of broke me out of the age of technology, because now I had something else to do first thing in the morning. I'm not up and on my phone. My phone, you know, if you can kind of see my room, obviously my bed is here. My phone stays over here off camera. So my phone's all the way over there. So now when my alarm goes off, I have to get up out of my bed to turn it off. Yep. Now I'm up. My feet are already on the ground. You know what I'm saying? That's already, you know, check mark number one of the day. So I'm good. Now I got my journal right in the way of all the other things that I'm going to do. So I have to now, since it's already here, I have to journal. So long story short, I just started putting other habits in the way of my phone. It's not like I don't check my phone. You know what I mean? But I put other things in the way, like, okay, journal, meditate, eat breakfast. And then while I'm eating breakfast and my coffee is brewing, then I can check my phone. But I would have to have all these other things in place first before I got to that final step of checking my phone. Because if I did it and I would try it as well, like there would be days where I was like, you know what, whatever, I'm just going to check my phone. And I would be like, I guess, focused on what my life was like when I did that. And the flow of the day just wasn't as good because I didn't have that sense of accomplishment of like, OK, I actually did something. Like I didn't go to the gym first thing in the morning. I didn't journal. You know what I'm saying? I didn't call my mom. And it's like, OK, so this is what my life is like when I check my phone first. I got to have other things in place that that will kind of like change my trajectory to like a better position. So that's kind of what I started doing. But yeah, when I was 13, 14, I wanted to have, you know, the big thing was Vine at the time. I wanted to have all the Vine followers and all these things. I was doing, you know what I'm saying? Doing stupid stuff, getting in trouble. You know, I was like, yeah, because I want that. But that just wasn't in my deck of cards for good reason, I think. And once I kind of figured that out, it kind of led me down the path that I'm on now by like self-improvement and stuff like that. And I think that's why I was kind of like so keen when I heard you talk about it in BDOC, because you don't really hear that a lot from like senior NCOs, especially not out here in Korea. It's just like work, 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 drink, drink, drink. And that's all you get. It's no between. So we was like life and improvement. I was like, okay, like I can get with that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. And I think I noticed it too, man. Like, I had a really good squad, you know, back at Luke when me and Pete was at the same location, and we made it a habit of just talking to each other, right? We made it a habit. We would sit in a hour session for lunch or breakfast, and then to go from finances to awards to taking care of troops to how you lead versus how I lead. And just kind of bounce ideas off of each other, because you need that circle, right? Because I can think I know everything, everything there is to know about being the leader or bringing people up. But there's always more than one way to skin a cat, right? So if I'm filling my tool belt with tools from the people that I trust, or that's to the left or the right of me, now I can tackle more problems than just the ones that's within that tunnel vision that I had. So I noticed that, man. I noticed even sitting in our settings, it was really. But what, Pete, maybe like two or three masters. It was two or three of us. And then we had, a couple techs. But there wasn't no stabs. There wasn't no airmen. And not intentionally, but we just had a different schedule. The dynamic was just different. But I noticed that we forget about that human aspect for these airmen, for these young staff, because some of us or some of them, they jump off the porch and then they come right into you to go right to Lackland, right? So it's a lot of life skills that they don't have, you know what I mean? Mm. And it's a lot of things that the conversations that they need to have that just aren't happening. We're so focused on black and white. So, I get a kick out of that, man. My wife would tell people all the time, you should have been a lawyer. Like, you always going back and forth.
Fact.
But bro, if I listen to you, man, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. If first sergeant always been one of my goals, right? And if I can make that happen before it's time for me to punch this Air Force ticket, that's what I'm gonna do. And it's mainly because I just want to be able to focus 100% on people without the distractions, right? And not to say that my job is not like that, but there's other things that I have to do, right? Outside of focusing on people and taking care of people. But I like to engage in conversations, things that, like, your mindset, man. I admire you. I admire you for the simple fact that you being, in between 20 and 30 years old, but you can speak like you speak. You had the knowledge. You was able to look at the damage that the utilization of technology can have and adjust to where you can get your focus back, right? Because I'm not going to lie to you. I've noticed that within myself, right? To pick up a book and start reading, it's like, man, I'm distracted, right? Yeah. Or new guidance come out and I'm trying to read it. And I really, to be honest with you, I have to like totally lock myself in a quiet room when it came to studying for promotion or studying for, seven level upgrade. I had to remove myself from everything in order to focus. And I'm glad that you noticed that early. And I would ask you to continue to share that, especially down low, a little bit below you, because a lot of them don't see it. It's get up, go to work, come home, and then lock into this video game for 5 hours, and your brains, So it's not healthy. It's really not healthy. Go ahead, P.
I will say, like, everybody grows at a different rate. You know what I mean? So you're 26 and you're trying to preach to people that are 18, 19, and they might not get, you might get one or two that will, but hopefully by the time they're 26, so I think it's hard when we do talk to people, because I know Big Mike, me and him talk about it a lot. When we talk to people, it's like, man, we're really trying to help, you know, and all we're doing is A, giving our opinion, and B, we're really trying to help. But when people don't get it or don't understand it, it's very, 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 very frustrating. And I think it's hard to just kind of take a step back and be like, okay, when I was 18, 19, what the fuck was I doing? Right. I was sitting there playing video games all day.
I knew it all.
I also
think, though, you have to put it in a way. You have to meet people where they are. You know what I
know
mean?
Your audience.
Like, exactly. They talk about that. We talk Air Force stuff, right? They talk about that in Tony Quill. You got to know your audience and what's your purpose. So if I'm talking to somebody who is younger than me, I'm going to package the message differently in a way that they're going to understand it. Like me, I'm a nerd. I watch a lot of anime. And if I know that that's something that they have in common, I'll give it to them in that kind of way.
Right.
They can kind of connect the dots themselves, even if they don't get it. Because I had people talk to me. My dad always talks to me. Hey, Shel, stay focused. I notice you're posting stuff. You're getting distracted. Me and my dad won't talk for like 2 weeks. Not because we have a weird relationship. Just because, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to talk to him all the time. He don't talk to me all the time. But I know it's all love when we talk. But I know if I'm dropping the ball, my dad will call me 3-4 in the morning. Show, what was that you just posted? And now I got to answer to it. Because he holds He holds me accountable. So now, like after years of that, I'm like, you know what, man? I can't just be out here just posting any old thing.
Right.
That's going to make, you know, that's make my family name look bad. Makes me look bad. Like I'm not with that. So I definitely think you got to meet people where they are. Because when I was 19, I was not this guy.
I hope not.
This guy at 19. But it's also, though, like I tell people, and what I've read and I've researched is, if you think the same way at 30 that you did at 20, you wasted 10 years.
You're a fool.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You're supposed to make these mistakes and grow and bump your head and learn. Like, you guys are both senior NCOs. Y'all aren't doing the same things that y'all were doing as airmen.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Not.
It's the same thing in life. You know what I'm saying? Because at 19, you know, I wasn't allowed to drink in the States. I go to England. You're allowed to drink now. And then they give you a car and then they let you live off base. Like, yes, I'm going to make some mistakes. Nothing fatal, nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying? But you make those mistakes. You learn from it. You grow from it. And then you have conversations like this where people can tune in and listen. And they go, oh, OK, like I was kind of thinking these thoughts, but I haven't really heard it put like that. So now I kind of get it. And then they can move forward. Because that's all that happened with me. Just started listening to podcasts, people that had it kind of figured out. And I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense in my life. And I just started to apply it. And then, boom, it clicked. So that's all I tried to do.
Yeah, real quick. I like your thought. I don't want to lose mine. But shout out Major Guest that's on here as well. Man, she gave Big Mike a shout out. I don't know what he was
spot shout on out, Matt. I'm always spot on. Don't worry about that. shout out to Matt Sarn Key, too. I hear and I see you in there following. Yeah. Shout out to all of the. I know it's a weird time for y'all, but we had to break down a little different this time. But we definitely appreciate y'all being out there.
Yeah. Hey, last thing I wanted to say something real quick. I like how you put it, man. But I want to make sure it's clear. When you make a mistake, right, it shouldn't be looked at as I dodged a bullet. It should be looked at maybe as I dodged a bullet, but here's what I learned from it. And a lot of people forget that learn from it spot, and they just say, "Oh man, I got away with this one," and just kind of throw it off like, you know, I got away with it. It should be something like you said that you learn and you push forward and you move on and try not to make that mistake again. Or if you are in that situation, you know how to go about it differently. But a lot of people just look at it like, "Oh, you know, they didn't catch me this time," you know, or whatever. Yeah. And so
those are the ones that end up being more than just a one-time mistake. You know what I'm saying? And that because they don't take a lesson from it. Those are the ones that, you know, and I've come across plenty of, I know y'all have, you come across plenty of people like that in life. Like you really be dumbfounded to look at them. Like, what else do you got to go through to understand? Like you got what they say. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, looking for a different outcome. You know what I'm saying? How many times you have to keep hitting that brick wall to understand? Like that is a brick. You're not getting through it. You probably need to go around it or over it. You know what I mean? But that's the thing. You make a mistake. It's okay to make mistakes. And that's why, like, for a while, you know, when they said our world was a one mistake, you know, one mistake situation, I hated that. But a lot of us felt like that in a way because it was like, oh, you do one thing wrong and it's a wrap. You know, your career is shot. And it sucked that people thought like that. But then sometimes you might have seen it, you know, and then other times it was other things in the background. Mm-hmm. But when you don't allow people to make mistakes, right, you're not helping them grow, right? Again, help them understand, recognize that mistake and say, okay, now you need to understand that. You need to do something different. But if they just choose to do that same thing, then they got to hit that brick wall. But we got to allow people to make mistakes in life. Like you said, what about your dad? Like, I'm pretty sure there's times where he just kind of sat back in the background and watched and said, let me see what he
does.
You know, if he go left, I'm going to go over there and pick him up, you know, but hopefully he go right. But he lets you learn that, you know, because if he didn't, you wouldn't learn how to stand on your own too. Because let's be honest,
100% we all have, agree.
We all have a day. You know what I'm saying? We all have a day. It's no secret to that. And if you don't let these people learn and walk their own path, be it your troops, your kids, your spouse, your brother, sister, if you don't let it happen, they're not going to learn how to survive without you overwatching everything. You know what I mean? So it's important, man. The mistakes and being able to communicate that, like, okay, yeah, you made this mistake. Now, what are you going to do next? How are you going to adjust fire, as we would say? It's important, man.
Yeah.
I also think that goes back into our topic as well. Like, you know, with my father, when I was the heavy online and trying to do all these things, you know, my dad was always reminding me like of what's real. You know, you'd be like, hey, your family is what's real. You know, my dad would always say, I make money. Money don't make me.
Right.
That stuck with me because it's like we said, like everyone's trying to get to the dollar. Well, OK, this guy's 22 and he's a millionaire. Well, if I just it's just like crazy. That's like how people's minds are. So like when I was kind of thinking like that, you know, 16, 17, 18, my dad was always just like, hey, that's not what's real. You know, what's real is what's right in front of you. My dad has so many sayings, man. My dad would just, because like, here's the thing, like, my dad would just say something and leave you to think about it. Like, on some, you know, ancient master type
philosophical.
Stuff.
Philosophical.
You know what I mean? I make money, money don't make me. Then him and mom leave the house. And I'm just in the room, like, what does he mean? You know what I'm saying? So my dad would just kind of give me those things and break it down for me. So that's another reason that, you know, kind of kept me on the straight. Path, get my head all right.
Let me ask you a blunt question. How do you like to be we talk about at a supervisory level? How do you like your supervisor to communicate with you? Would you rather I know it depends on the situation, but would you rather them text you? Would you rather them pull you off to the side? Would you rather them do it in public? Or a good or bad thing? How do you like to be communicated with?
I prefer face-to-face communication, but also the baseline is respect. Right. The baseline is respect. If I made a mistake, I would expect my supervision or my leadership to come to me and be like, hey, this is the situation. This is where you messed up. This is what I think we should do to make sure that this mistake never happens again. Because when I have to like mentor people, like when I'm training someone up on like how to run up the pumper for like the fire engine, I'll break it down just like that. This is the situation. This is what I need you to do. These are the objectives. Go. And then if they mess up, I start with what they did good. I did, hey, you did all these things good. You did this one thing exceptional. So I really want you to keep that. Here's what we can work on. Here's how we work on it. And then I'll end it with something good. So then they leave that interaction feeling like, okay, Pink's not just trying to beat up on me. He actually sat down. He watched what I did. He listened to what I had to say. And then we moved on. Because at the end of the day, I might need this guy to drag me out of a fire. You know what I'm saying? So I need to know he knows his job, but I don't got to beat up on him like that. Like being a firefighter, a lot of the times it's a very macho job. Like a lot of the times people try to out macho each other. I'm not like that. I know how to fight. You know what I mean? But because of that, that doesn't mean I'm going out and I'm starting stuff. You know, I'm not going to get in no grown man's face and start talking to him left and right. Like, no, I'm going to tell you what you need to know. And then I'm going to be out there with you actually doing it is a big thing. I'm not just going to say it and then go back to my office or whatever. I'm going to tell you what needs to get done. I'm going to go out there with you. We do it. I'm going to watch you do it. I'm going to know that you know how to do it. I'm going to make sure you're confident while you're doing it. So then when that situation arises, I'm like, hey, he got it. I know he's got it. I can just fire it and forget and I can go work on something else. So I like to be communicated with how I communicate to other people. You know, I make sure that they're good. I make sure they know what they're doing. And I'm not perfect at it. I'm not going to act like there's not times where I don't get upset or frustrated. Like, this is my third time telling you, and you're still messing up. I'm like, man, what I got to do?
Right.
What's going on?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to act like I'm perfect about it, but I try to go into it at least with that game plan and that frame. So then if things go off course, I'm like, okay, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the wrong messenger for this individual. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try to do.
That was interesting. You just said maybe I'm the wrong messenger for that individual.
Yeah.
Because that exists. You know what I'm saying? It is a thing, and you don't really notice that. I really don't pay attention to it much because a lot of times, and I think with what you said, it means like commonality, right? Like I may have went through something that this person went through, so they understand what I'm saying a lot more, not because of the way I look, not because of what my race is, or not because we have commonality within experiences, right? And then I may not even understand that situation because I never went anything anywhere remotely close to what they're going through. So that matters too. It's so many aspects to communication, and people don't understand it, and it's bad because a lot of people will misconstrue that, like, they just don't want to listen to me. They're just hard headed. Yeah. They don't care. So now it's like, all right, I'm giving up. No, how about you get somebody else that might be able to relate to this person and relay this message a little bit better, right? Or that has that commonality, and then you could get forward movement. Don't just give up because they don't hear you. It might be you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we got a question, so I want to get to it. But me and Big Mike have had times when we were at Luke where I was like, bro, I need you to take this from me. Like, I'm not getting through to him. Like, I need you to help me out. Yeah, you know what I mean? It'd be a lot of times where you try to find the, you know, I think of a person that I won't mention his name, but, you know, Brown was a good friend with him. And I was like, Brown, like, he was on my flight, young staff sergeant on my flight. And I was like, bro, I'm not getting through to him. Like, I'm trying to help him. He just don't see it. Like, I need you to talk to him. I was like, I'll shut up, but I need you to talk to him. And whatever message you say, just let me know what it is. And I'll change my message to bring that to him. You know, and hopefully it something clicks, man, because it is very frustrating.
It could be, before you hit the question real quick, it could be the fact that that person just has a problem with you. A lot of times it's the messenger, it's not the message, right? And sometimes people will be so focused on the messenger, they're so focused on who's delivering the, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they don't give a shit what's being said. You could be standing in front of this person and be like, listen, I got $1 million lottery ticket in my trunk. Go get it. We're going to split it 50-50. And they so busy look like, I do not like this motherfucker. I don't know why he talked. You know what I'm saying? Totally.
I don't even like that car. Why would I be seeing near a car I don't like? Like, it's crazy what people can come up with when they don't.
Come up with it, man. Yeah. Go ahead, Pete. What you got?
My last relationship taught me that, really. That I might be the wrong messenger, but that's a whole nother.
I got you.
Hey, young man, for you, do you know folks who prefer to avoid face-to-face communication, and then to follow on that, and how do you help that gap that situation?
So I'll answer the second question first. How to gap the situation is just like you did. You just asked them, you know, okay, I noticed, you know, you're a little bit nervous or whatever may come up with the face-to-face situation. How would you like for me to communicate with you? And they should be able to tell you. You know, well, you know, because everyone's raised differently. Like you may have times where people might not have parents that talk to them face to face. Like me and my family, we would have like weekly conferences, not conferences, but we would sit down and talk.
Family time.
Like, you know, like we play board games. And so that face to face interaction was always there. I think that's why it's weird for me now when I go out into the world and it's like a screen. I'm not used to that. I'm like, this is weird, because I grew up with that. So I would say how you gap that is by, you know, initially it might be initially uncomfortable, because I do think that gapping it should start face to face. You go, okay, cool. If this works for you, we can continue this way. If not, you know, we can do text messages, however you prefer, as long as the message gets across. And I can help you complete the Air Force mission and we're good. Right. Or if it's just a friend, it's like, cool, whatever you're going through, I want to establish this so you can feel comfortable coming to me. So, yeah, as far as the first question, I've definitely met people that are uncomfortable with face-to-face interactions, mainly because they're just introverted people or they could be having a bad day. Like, people are so complex from day to day. You never know. You really never know. But I know, like, in ALS, we had one guy, he didn't really like doing face-to-face stuff. Because he felt as if his English wasn't that good. He spoke like 3 or 4 or 5 different languages. Mm. So he would just be he wasn't comfortable with his English. But everyone confidence. In the class was like, yeah, it was like, we understand you just fine. He's like, no, you're just saying that. I'm like, nah, like we understand.
We hear you.
So it was kind of like that. Yeah, it was kind of like he was reserved in himself because he didn't feel like what he had to say would be understood.
Yeah.
So he was just kind of like, just like off in the corner by himself. So, you know, I walked up to him. I was like, hey, man, what's up? You know, how you doing? Just trying to get him to talk. Me and a couple other guys. So that's how I would say how you would gap that, man. Just talk to people, try to meet people where they're at, and then try to package the message the best way you can to give to them to where they can unpackage it, get the message, and then y'all can move forward.
Yeah. Good advice, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know you've been to two bases, so we'll keep names out of it. How do you deal with a supervisor or even, we'll even say a commander, right? You had a commander's call. You think this commander BSing up there just saying things to be political, or you have a supervisor just kind of telling you BS. How do you deal with that, those situations, if you ever been a part of those?
Right. So I've definitely gotten in trouble with this because I don't like, I don't like to be in front of somebody and feel like they're BSing me. Because it's like, look, man, at the end of the day, if I take this as truth and I run with this, I'm going to run myself into a wall. Why would you want that for your people? Like now I can't trust you as a leader because you lying to the people for what?
Right.
For a reason. So I will say I'm not so bold that if I'm at a commander, well, maybe I am, honestly. It depends. Yeah. If we had a commander's call and they open the floor for questions, I might have to say some things. But again, package it, be respectful. Obviously, I'm not just going to start flying off the handle. But if I'm talking to a supervisor and me and that supervisor, we kind of have like a good rapport, I can break it down more to be like, look, like, why? Like, do you really believe what you're telling me? You know what I mean? Like, look me in the face as a man, as opposed like, Air Force stuff aside, man to man, like what are we talking about right now? There's just definitely been times where I've heard some stuff where I'm like, that doesn't add up no matter how many math classes you go to. That's not adding up. I need some, like, am I missing something? Like, what's going on? But I also think, though, as well, if you feel like that, you got to ask questions. You know, a lot of the times people will hear the commander or whoever talk, and everybody got like questions or like some kind of uncomfortable feeling within themselves. And then they'll wait, they'll just let this man walk out the room. And now they're looking at each other like, hey, do you know what he meant? But I was like, bro, he was just right there. Ask the question. And I understand.
Big Mike do that shit all the time.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, what?
No, I'm saying somebody will say like, man, I wonder what he meant by that. And you'd be like, yo, he was just right there.
Yeah. And I get it.
I'm about to say, wait, I ain't never do that.
No, yeah.
And I understand it's intimidating because, you know what I'm saying? You got three stripes. This dude's a full bird colonel. Like, I understand that. But if you feel that way, there's probably at least 10 other people that feel that way. If you're in an auditorium full of people, you're not the only person that's just like, I don't know what he's talking about. Like when we had all of the bug directives come down, right? Man, there was so much confusion left, right, and center. Everyone was looking at each other. So then when we had leadership come down, I'm asking questions. I got a notebook full of boom, boom, boom. Why we do this? Why is it that we can't do it this way? They're doing it this way at this base. How is their directive different from our? Like, I'm asking these questions and I'm not being rude about it. And I'm not being abrasive about it. I would always try to preface and saying, you know, something like, well, sir, regarding this directive, I wanted to know why exactly do we do it like this, as opposed to, you know, our OSON who does it like that. And the reason why I'm asking is for clarification is because I want to know if we do have different directives, how is that going to affect not only us now, but how is it going to affect the mission further out? Because I'm here for a little bit. I want to know. So as we get new people, I can kind of let them know so it doesn't have to go all the way up to your level. Boom. I just broke it down in a way to where now he's like, okay, this guy isn't trying to challenge my authority. He's asking to make my job easier. Because if you package it in a way that says, hey, I want to do this for you, chances are they're not going to, they have no real ammunition to fire back. And if it's me, a senior airman against a full bird colonel, I'm not winning that firefight. So I want to make sure it's as peaceful as possible. Sir, I'm here to help you. Just let me know so I can let these people know. And then that way I have the information. And then as other people come in, they have the information. And if things change, you just repeat the process.
I'm going to say this phrase, and I know major guests know exactly what I'm talking about, but how I chopped that up, what you said is the meeting after the meeting, you know, everybody sitting there, you know, questions are being asked and nobody, you know, and Pete, you know, you remember these meetings, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and her specifically, she asking questions and one person says something, nobody else has nothing to say, and then you depart. Now everybody got all
that question.
Yeah. Everybody falls. Yeah, well, it was just sitting in there like 2 minutes ago. Why you come out here and ask that question? Like it would fire me up. And Pete, no, like I would be super hot. Like, and me, I'm not holding nothing back, bro. Like I'm not holding nothing back. Like you doing something stupid, like I'm gonna tell you. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, in the right way. But just ask the question, because it's so many people, again, in that room that have the same question, but everybody don't have the same amount of confidence, you know? And that's cool. They respect that because people come from different walks of life. But if you got something that is to say, and it's not only going to help you, it's going to help 10 to 15 to 20, possibly 100 other people, then say it. Because, again, yeah, it's always more than one way to look at something, right? And that's why we have teams. That's why the dynamics of building teams is important. I don't want to surround myself with everybody that thinks like me. I don't. I don't want people around me that just think like me because we're not going anywhere, right? I want the person that's going to challenge what I'm saying, right? I want the person that's going to see things different or that came up a different way from me because now we can look at it from different angles and break it down, chop it up, however we need to do it, and then we push forward, you know? Me and this character go at it all the time. Me and P, sometimes sometimes his thought process be all over the place, but it's a lot of times he forced me to be like, let me at least think of it, how he thinking it, to see if I can look at it another way. You know what I mean? And then we got three or four other partners that think differently, you know? So, yeah, like man, look, you guess it. Your commanders want questions. Go ahead, yeah, Pete.
I will say, man, this is just like Mark Cuban said it better than I can, man, but you know that phrase, there's no such thing as a stupid question, there is. And so I think a lot of people need to learn how to ask questions. And right, a lot of people with communication, as we're talking about, need to learn how to ask questions. And you come across, and just like in any kind of communication, you say the wrong thing, people will focus on that one word or one phrase you said than the whole conversation. You could have a great, elegant question, and you mess it up by throwing a cuss word in there. You say something wrong, the whole question gets thrown out. Right. So I think a lot of times people need to think before they ask questions. And
100%.
It's really, really hard to impromptu a question sometimes. So I think knowing what the conversation is or knowing what the meeting is about before we get in there. And that's why this podcast is so hard for guests, because you never know what question you're going to get. But then again, we're not holding you accountable for every little thing that you say. You know, we're giving you the grace to, if you mess up, it's all good and you can correct it as you go. But when you're in a live situation, you know, commander's call or in front of your supervisor, you really need to think about how you're going to ask this question, and you need to think fast. And unfortunately, our type of business, fast thinking is what we do. You're going to have to think on the fly and change decisions. And if you can't do that in a commander's call or in front of your supervisor, how the hell can you do that? You know, I hate to use a bad situation, but in a firefight or in a fire situation, you know, you got to make a decision that's not on paper really quick, and you can't even ask a question in the commander's call that makes sense. But we're expecting you to make keen decisions on the fly. It doesn't work like that. And people need to know their strengths and their weaknesses and build and figure out how to get strong with their stuff. And how you do that is get around people who are not like you, who don't think like you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I want to tie that back to our original point as well about like attention and focus, is because you're right. You do have to think fast. But if you start, I've noticed with myself, and I don't know I'm not a neuroscientist or nothing like that, but I know like when you start focusing and you start training the muscles in your brain that deal with focus, it becomes so much easier to think on the fly or come up with like logical solutions that is going to get everybody, you know, home safe and stuff like that, you know. So when you're not as distracted and you're more locked in and you're more focused, that situation that comes, because life happens to everybody, you know what I'm saying? Life punches everybody in the mouth equally and unequally, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when you're in that situation where you're at a firefight or a building's on fire and you've been meditating, you've been reading, you're getting enough sleep, you're eating the right foods, you're drinking water, you know what I'm saying? You have people around you that are not tearing you down, but building you up. When that situation comes, you've been doing that for months, weeks, years, whatever, you're already ready for it. Yep. You just got to then make the decision. Okay, boom, this building on fire, cool. We got any exposures? How important is this building? Is there people inside? Like the checklist is already there. So I think it goes back to what we were saying originally. You know what I'm saying? If you practice that, you practice that focus, you practice that mentality of always being locked in. Like David Goggins is really good about this. He talks about like always trying to find like the next level, the next thing. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out and do like 4,020 pull-ups to be good at this. That's not what I'm saying at all. Yeah. But as long as you have something in your life that you practice that might be a little bit uncomfortable, but it keeps you right at your edge, when life happens to you, you're going to be more ready for it. And I learned that from this book called Way of the Superior Man by David Data. And he talks about these things. And he talks about, you know, living right on your edge and stuff like that. So I think if you're living right on your edge, you know, you're in a commander's call. Commander's like, hey, do you have any questions? You might feel like that initial nervousness, but if you just go and you just jump, You just start talking. Okay, people might laugh, whatever. You accept that, but you still get the question out. And if that commander, you know, those commanders are, they've been doing the thing longer than I've even been alive. They're going to work with you like, well, could you clarify, or do you, what do you exactly mean? And then they can get to the meat of the question. Then boom, you got a good question. He can answer. You can sit now, whatever the case may be. And you go on about your day. And I think the people that really laugh or might just be like, man, I'm glad that's not me up there, is because they had the same question, but they didn't have the courage to actually stand up in front of all these people and ask it. So you got to just, you just got to understand when you're trying to do something good or something great, on your way up, people are going to laugh at you, but that's just normal. That's just how people are. But then when you get to a certain level, they stop laughing. And
ain't nobody laughing no more.
That's right. Exactly. Those laughs start turning into words of affirmation. And, oh, I always knew you could do it. And this and you got to just, but you got to just take, you just got to take the negative as a positive is just whatever. Like I said, I make music. I send people my songs. Sometimes they're like, man, this song was trash. I say, thank you. Sometimes they were like, man, this song was great. I say, thank you. It's all the same. Because for me, what's important is making sure I send my songs to 100 people. So if I send my songs to 100 people, only two of them like it, that's fine. Because my focus is locked in on sending them to 100 people. How does that make sense for the analogy of asking a question? My focus is just asking the question, standing up and asking the question. I'm going to go talk to a girl. My focus is just going over there and talking to her. Now, I'm not trying. It's just going over there, doing the thing I'm most afraid of. That's step my one. Whole goal. Exactly. Step one, going over there. And then whatever else happens, happens. So I think if you have that kind of mindset, kind of mitigates that nervousness a little bit. It makes it easier to practice. And then you can start focusing on step two, step three, whatever. Get really good at it. Teach other people how to do it.
Right. That's what that becomes the importance of. You bring up the importance of that attention and focus is self, is a part of that self-care. Right. Because people, a lot of people don't really realize that. Say you just staying average, you just staying in mediocre, right? You just doing whatever your daily routine is. You ain't adding to your life. You ain't taking away from it. But you're not feeling nothing positive in it. So that leaves so much more room for negativity to creep in, right, and take over. If you consume your life or your daily routine with something positive, right, one or two things, that's less room that negativity can consume you. Because you already got, like you said, the social media. You got people, Twitter and Snapchatting and this and that. People fighting and killing and things blowing up. If that's what you're seeing constantly, you consuming yourself with that. So your brain is more likely to focus on those negative things. All right. If you had to think of something in a split second, it's going to be something probably negative because that's what you're consuming yourself with. You're not preparing yourself mentally to even be anywhere near focused, like you said, to deal with those situations that might be spot on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's about being responsible and caring for yourself first and foremost. Because people always look for that validation and that care from other people. They put that responsibility on other people, right? And you said on a couple times, relationships, right? How many times you hear about relationships in the communicated pieces? Oh, I need you to make me happy. No, it's not nobody else's responsibility to make you happy. You know what I mean? It's not their response. It's your responsibility to make you happy, period. Because if you ain't happy with yourself, I don't care what nobody does, right? They're not going to make you happy, right? If you, it's just not going to work, you know? So you have to have that self-care about yourself. You got to care about what's going on with yourself first and foremost so that you can prepare yourself to focus.
Yeah, I want to go in on that as well. You know, I honestly believe, you know, this is just my personal opinion. I don't think that there is staying neutral in life. I think you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And the reason why I say that is because time doesn't wait for anybody. So if you eating the same junk food day after day, week after week, year after year, your body's going to reflect that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? There is really no average anymore, in my opinion. I think there's like exceptional, and then there's exceptional people trying to be exceptional, and then just people who aren't trying at all. You know what I'm saying? Because if you can't just do nothing and expect to have good things in life, you know, you know what I'm saying? It goes into like delayed gratification and instant gratification. Mm-hmm. If you always pick the easy way out, I seen this with like dudes I went to high school with, man. Dude, they had all the girls, you know what I'm saying? Drove the
nice
best
clothes.
Car. You know what I'm saying? They had everything. And you know, me with my glasses, I'm just, I want to be, you know what I'm saying? But now I look at life and I'm like, man, like they didn't really capitalize on any of that. You know what I'm saying? Like they still in the same. Exactly. They're still in the same town with the same people talking about the same moments. You know, they haven't grown. They still driving the same car, but now that car is worthless now, worthless now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, man, so all these things happen for a reason, I think. And I think when you start to kind of realize like, okay, I have every time you wake up, you get two things. You get a chance and you get a choice.
You get a chance.
You take that chance to make the right choice that may not benefit you right now, like taking a cold shower and going to the gym. I don't want to do these things, man. Like, I want to stay in bed just like everybody else. But I know if that becomes my life, then I can't complain when my life isn't what I want it to be.
Right.
So I'd rather work out, get it done, work out good as well, because that goes into like, you know what I'm saying? Just don't just do it. It'd be like, okay, well, I'm doing it and I'm not seeing any results.
Angle.
Like,
right.
Exactly.
You're going to get out of it what you put into it.
Exactly. You're not doing it to do it. You're doing it just to be like, well, I checked the box and nothing happened. Nah, you actually got to do it. Feel it.
Right.
Then complain afterwards and be like, man, that was terrible.
But I got
that
it sucked, done.
But I got it done. So now you got that win. You can take that energy upward into your life. You do that day in and day out and look where you're going to be at in 10 years. You're like, man, I'm glad I got up. Because if I didn't get up, then I wouldn't have met that person at that point in time that had this conversation, that which led to this opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Like all these things fall into place. So I think that you either get better or you get worse. There is no staying the same. There is no average.
I could rock with that. Hey, Pete, throw that comment back up there. Shout out to my chief up there. He threw that comment up there.
This one right?
Yeah. The science of the mind is what you feed the most. That's what wins. Absolutely.
I want to throw up another comment. I've read it before. Probably y'all got to see it. But it's really cool, man, because I think when we talked about this originally, me and Mike threw this up like 2-3 weeks ago about communication, and we couldn't get the right guest on. And, man, it's so funny how everything aligns up and happens for a reason, because this was not planned, you know, 3 weeks ago that we were going to have this young man on and how everything come about. And you're not ever sure when we start a podcast how it's going to go. You know, we're impromptu, so we're never sure. So when you see comments like this, man, it really sends a light to what we do, man. Definitely love going in on this topic y'all speaking about right now. You're responsible for your own happiness. You know what I mean? And stuff like that is what I shout really
out.
Like.
That's my man Porter right there. Tech Sergeant.
Okay. Shout out Porter, man. I know Sergeant Porter.
That's my video guy, Pete. That's my video man. Gonna do the video.
Okay, okay. Well, you need to hurry up. But anyway, I'm just joking.
Shut up.
And scene.
But no, man, I love this stuff, man. I love learning. I love hearing different people's perspective and knowing that the same stuff that we talking about, people are either, like we talk about, thinking about or talking about as well. And we just have a platform in which we can get it out to a lot more people because of the time that we put in off script and off camera, the time that we put in to communicate these meetings and figure out times and stuff like that. It takes a lot of time and a lot of energy to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really not easy at all. It's fun once we get on the mic and we're talking like this, but you know, after we get done, it's a lot of work involved and stuff like that. But
synchronizing. Two different places. Now we're in two different parts of the world, you know?
Yeah.
It takes a lot. Go ahead, P.
Yeah, but just basically what I'm saying is, man, I appreciate you. Well, I'm not trying to end it right now, but I appreciate you being on here and your perspective. I also see the books behind you, so lets me know you just ain't bullshitting about reading, man. Yeah, you actually put in the work.
I told you, man. I told you, young man, he was up.
My journal right here, man.
He was locked into his fire system over there, man. I don't know what I said or what topic we was talking about. I think it might have started with the communication piece, but I seen him spin his chair around a little bit. I said, hey, man, you get in another conversation. He's like, yeah, man, nobody will come down here and talk to me like this, man. I need to turn around. And that was it.
I spun around like Morpheus. I was like, okay, all right. We're talking about some interesting topics here. I want to get in on this for sure.
I appreciate it, man. But it was good conversation, man. You know, but I just the heard the way he was speaking. You know what I'm saying? I told you, I said, hey, we talked about this communication show. I think I got the right dude, you know, and, you know, spot on, man. But it's important, bro. So many aspects to communication, so many aspects to how people communicate, how they focus, like what we need to be doing in life to just become better as people, man. And I think the reason why things are just going the way they're going is because people are not focusing on being better as people. They're focusing on looking at people like food, you know, an automatic competition. I got to be better than you, or I got this great thing and I'm not going to share it because it only can make me great. But the thing is, I don't only, I don't, if I got people to the left or the right of me and I'm the only one eating, right? Because I feel like we got this big journey we need to be traveling on. And I'm only making sure I got the snacks in my backpack. But everybody else to the left of me starving. So let's say I fall out or I get to a certain point, I can't go no more. Who the hell gonna carry me? Because they ain't eating nothing. They starving. You know what I mean? Like, people don't understand that. Feed your team. Feed your peers. Feed the people below you and above you, because when you need them, they can be there to help you survive. If you just think it's just going to be you and you're going to make it to the top by yourself, I can guarantee you get there, you're going to be lonely. You know what I mean? You ain't got, then you're going to need that phone. You're going to need that TikTok and that Snapchat, because ain't nobody else going to be there and be one to deal with you, because you got there by on the backs of other people. And that's not the way to rock, man. It's not the
another way to thing. Another thing my dad always told me, again, so many sayings, right? My dad always told me leaders eat last, because I would eat, you know, like I would have my food, mom and my sister would have her food, you know, mom would then make him a plate and then she would have her food. But my dad would always say leaders eat last. And it goes off of what you just said. You know, if I'm a king and everybody in my kingdom is starving, I'm a terrible king. You know, if you look at Lion King, right, when Mufasa was the king of the jungle, everything was flourishing. You know what I'm saying? There was a system for things. You don't go here because we don't own anything over there. Everything was cool, though. There was order in place. But then when Scar took over, the land was barren. You know what I'm saying? People was hungry. People was fighting and dying and killing each other. It was nothing but chaos. And chaos is the thing that directly challenges order. You know what I mean? So I think it's exactly like you said. If you're in any leadership position, not only of other people, but we're all leaders of our own lives and our own selves, you have to make sure that you're getting around people and making sure that these people are good, because there's going to come a time where life hits you in the face, hits you in the chest, and you're going to stumble back. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
You're going to need those people. You're going to need that support system. And if every interaction they've had with you is negative, they're going to be like, why would I help this guy? Like, this person, like, why would I do that? But if they're like, hey, I know you a good dude. Don't even worry about it. Like, if you need some money, cool, I got you. Whatever the case may be. And that's like, cool, I appreciate that. And then you're going about your business and you know that you return that favor. So it's 100% like that, man.
Yeah. Leaders Eat Last is an infamous book by Simon Sinek. I'm not sure if you know who that is, but if you get some time, look him up on YouTube, man. He has some really interesting leadership thoughts. Right, his name is Simon Sinek. Yeah, really, really good leadership dude, man. He hasn't came out with stuff in a while, but he's really, 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 really good. He still is, but really, really good. But
that's that last name.
So, you asking the wrong person how to spell. You asking the wrong person.
This dude, you fired, bro.
Oh, S-I-N-E-K. Yeah, yeah. You asking the wrong person how to spell anything, bro.
All I want to do is make sure the people heard you say that about yourself, then they didn't come from
me. I know my flaws.
I'm tired of getting these messages about people talking about, you be going too hard on Pete. No, I ain't going too hard on Pete. I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
I hold myself accountable. I do it. I take care of it.
It's fair. I had to ask because I didn't know. So you notice,
you notice I ain't jump in because I ain't know
either. You played it.
I deflected. That's what I did.
The truth is revealed.
There we go, man. I own my stuff. I own my stuff, man.
That's crazy.
I just kept smiling and talked about something else. You know what I mean?
Of course. Deflect.
But you gotta surround yourself with people, you know, that's doing what you want to do, right? Or doing the things that you know that's going to make you successful, or people that's where you want to be, right? And I think I always hung with the older crowd, right? I never really rocked with a lot of people that was way younger than me. Like, I always ran with the older crowd. And then even coming in and getting in my career, a lot of my circle, even as a, be honest with you, staff and techs, a lot of my mentors was masters and above. And that's not to take away from nobody that was on my level, but I seen you know, my vision was that is where I want to be. Like, my goal is to be there. So I focused on them. You know what I mean? And not saying I didn't leave nobody behind, because I made sure I took care of people. But those people that I constantly kept in my pocket, in my hip pocket, was at that level, because they were where I wanted to be. And then I can also get the game from them and then sell it to the ones that was maybe trying to get to where I was at, right? So I know I kind of kept that circle going. But you got to surround you. I don't want this to sound bad. I always use this analogy when I talk to my kids. But if I want to be a millionaire, I'm not going to go talk to the homeless man on the corner. You understand what I'm saying? And maybe I'm going to go, I'm going to talk to him when I become a millionaire to help him get on his feet. But if I'm trying to figure out how to be a millionaire, the homeless man on the corner can't tell me. And that's nothing against him. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, you got to surround yourself with, where you going to get the knowledge from? You got to talk to the people that you know got the knowledge, right? Surround yourself with that so that you can help other people. If I'm rocking with people and they ain't got no goals, they ain't thinking about going nowhere, they happy with just being media, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Although that's cool, man, you have a 2K buddy like that, you know what I mean, that you play 2K with and stuff. That's always cool to have those type of friends. But I was just like you as well. You know, I was rocking with staffs and techs when I was just, you know, A1C. Because of what they said, I would never knew about investments. You know how big I am with investments, man. Right. You never knew how, you know, I don't know when I would have. I shouldn't say I never got that knowledge, but I just wouldn't have got it when I got it if I wasn't in that place and in that circle. Because I made it a point to hang out with them, to be around them, just be a, you know, kind of like a fly on the wall and just, you know, wait for my opportunity that I could speak, kind of thing. And then, you know, say some, ask questions. But all the time, man, my mental journal, like you say, a journal. My mental journal is just going. I'm taking mental notes the whole time. Then I'll go home in the privacy and I'll be like, man, let me look this up, man. Come back and ask him a question. I heard what you said. You know, what are you talking about?
So thank y'all for that.
Man, yeah, appreciate that, man. I will say I'm probably speaking for Big Mike, man. We're going to have to get you back on, bro. Sometime sooner rather than later, man. But because I think we have a lot more that we could go into, man. We'll probably go 2-3 hours in this thing, man. So,
man, hey, if we talk about relationships, I'm going to have to clear my schedule.
We're going to do it because Pete been avoiding that for about 2 years now. So we'll go on that.
All right, man. We out of here, man. Unpopular celebrities, y'all. Y'all know where you at, man. Check us out on the website, man. Look us out on YouTube, all the podcasts, man. Wherever you get at, you'll be able to see this whole thing here.
Spotify, Pandora, iHeart, Apple, wherever it's at, we on there. Amazon, you can find us. Just keep tuning in. We love y'all. We love y'all for supporting us, man. Up until now. Continue to please support us. If you got any ideas, reach out to us. Don't forget to donate to your unpopular celebrities so we can help us keep the bills paid, because we ain't sponsored, right? We ain't sponsored just yet. We're going to get to it really soon. But appreciate y'all. Like P said, y'all already know who it is, unpopular celebrities.
We out here.
Peace.